Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
And welcome to the NXT review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dally Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review the show formerly known as NXT Dubai. Pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete, and the bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamlet and Sidgwick to review NXT, and I don't know whether it's because I missed last week, so I wasn't here last week, but I had a bloody great time watching this show.
So I would describe this NXT as the quintessential reason why I'm in the business of reviewing NXT. You know, when Steve Austin was like, if you're not into win the WWE Championship, you shouldn't be in WWE at all. Mm. It's like, if you're not in for weeks like this NXT, you shouldn't be reviewing NXT at all. Sometimes there are some hard yards to get through. But when you get the perfect mix of actually a couple of decent matches, talent that you quite like to watch earnestly, and then bollocks stacked on top of bollocks stacked on top of bollocks, you're just like, perfect. This is it. This is what it's for. Like, anybody that doesn't watch our review, get an hour level, because just sometimes you get everything you need.
I had a fun time watching this utter crap. It was just really, really fun. Like, oh my God. Giddy with excitement at the prospect of burying this, but also nervous because me and Hamflet have talked about this. Like, sometimes we'll pitch on the writing side of things. Visit whatculture.com/WWE for several great articles. When we get something to write about in the sphere of comedy or unintentionally great moments in wrestling, you get revved up because you're excited to revisit these terrible things. And then you get down to the writing and you think, I can't write 200 words about how funny this is. That's funnier than the actual funny thing that's happened. Like, what am I meant to say about scripts? I'll try and get there. I'm brewing something, but I just look at it.
I love the mystery of it. I still can't work out who is Scribbs. It's just such a mystery. And I'm getting concerned the amount of times I'm laying in bed in the early hours of the morning thinking about Michael Sidgwick. But I really did think about you at the close of this show. But we will get to that in due course. Because I was like, well, I'm sure Sidge is going to have something to say about this.
Yeah.
It was like you say, it was this weird concoction of genuine brilliant moments. There's some stuff we are going to legitimately praise on this show that is just like, yep, great, they're ready for the main roster, let's go, sort of thing. And some stuff that I was like, well, that was dreadful, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. So we'll dive straight into it. The show opened, as promised, with Toxic Attraction coming out.
Oh, boy.
Mandy Rose, NXT Women's Champion, 400 days as champion now. She's got JC Jane, she's got Gigi Dolin with there. She's celebrating her successful title defense last week, of course, with a little bit of help, but she said, I won this, or retain this title all by myself. No mention of Isla Dawn. Talks about the Iron Survivor Challenge, and that's going to determine her next challenges. Is she going to watch that with interest? And then JC Jane says, yep, me and Gigi can now focus on regaining those tag team titles, become the first ever three-time women's tag team champions in NXT. They slag off Chance and Carter, and out they come onto the stage, and Carter says, oh, what a load of bollocks, you doing everything by yourself, Mandy. Gigi and JC, you're just going to bail as soon as Mandy Rose loses her title. They get into a back and forth, and then Carter and Chance, inexplicably, despite the clear numbers disadvantage, rush the ring, and you go, ooh, cool, who's going to be the third person to run out and make the save here? No, not one. They just get their ass handed to them by Toxic Attraction, who stand over them as we close the opening of the show.
It was at very least believable that Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro, Katana Chance, would have no friends at this point because they are the most dislikable baby faces in all of wrestling. But considering how much, especially Katana Chance, we've seen she surrounds herself with people, even when you're not supposed to, I was surprised that nobody was there to make the save. I couldn't decide. There was one detail I liked, earnestly liked, because I'm just a sucker for WWE nonsense. I don't think it's a wasted bit of scripting that it's been put out there now that maybe Toxic Attraction have finished when Mandy Rose loses the title, because Mandy Rose has shown enough, I think, that this title run, she'll just say, respect me, until people do. I think people will start to, like, she's coming up on Asuka and Shayna Baszler's records with this title, regardless of what you think about the rating.
No one cares about this.
Nowhere near the prestige. But at the point at which she goes back to the main roster, they could easily have the two turn on the one as being like, yeah, you were just our meal ticket and now you haven't got the belt anymore, so we don't really need you. And I think that was what was implied here. Mm. I think that turn will actually happen and JC Jane and Gigi Dolin will just become a tag team under their own steam, of which there will be none because they suck too. But I don't now think there's going to be a title match at Deadline. I think there's going to be a pretty lame six-woman match, and I didn't even care that the tag team champions didn't have a babyface friend. Like, all of these characters are just so inessential. Mandy Rose isn't like that. That's 400 days of 400 days. I'm not praising the rain, but it's 400 days. She has her moments, but the rest of them are just inessential and nonsense. And they're a real indictment on, like, I think sometimes this show does an all right job of developing people. It has not done that with either Toxic Attraction or the champions, I don't think.
Five unlikable characters locked in a war of words about who is the worst via absolutely terrible, unconvincing dialogue where you don't feel like the heels are dominant because they've had a 3-on-2 advantage and you think way less of the baby faces than you did going in, which was not much in the first instance. Terrible, terrible television. I loved it.
Then we see Wesley. Of course, he's got the big title match in the main event, defending his North American Championship against Carmelo Hayes. He's arriving, and who should appear behind him, cruising behind him? Oh, it's Tony D's, and oh, there he is, Mr. North American Champion himself. And they go, yeah, boss, he's the North American Champion for now. Tony D says,
that's a great Stax impression,
yeah,
by the way.
I've been working on it.
Really good, that.
He says, look, I haven't forgotten what you did to me, Wes. But good luck tonight, champ. And Wes goes to apologize and then stops himself. He's like, no, look, whatever. When I'm finished with Mello, you know where to find me. And Tony says, oh, yes, that I do. That I do. Ominous.
How injured is Tony D'Angelo? Because he set up like three separate storylines on a crutch at this point. What are we doing?
Just when he thought he was out. Just when he thought he was out.
Check the level up results, as I always do, obviously. So another win for Stax in the main event. So he's
what?
Doing pretty well for himself. Getting a bit of a record going.
Like
just
three,
in time
384 at this
Iron
point.
Survivor thing.
It's not Dark and Dynamite circa 2021. They just put NEL crap on there so they get some reps. In the worst possible context.
Yeah. But I'm very pleased for him. I just wish I could, you know, congratulate him in person. It's someone!
Hey, Stax. You all right, man? That's good. Stax,
congratulations on the win on level 6. Well, out the fucking chair now. I got to sit there because I got some jokes for the guys. It's quite early in the show, so I'm not going to stick around too long. But you've been watching the World Cup, CG?
Yeah, it's been very uneven.
Yes.
Like some really, really dull matches, then some incredible shock results. This extra time thing, what do you think of this extra time, Stax?
I can take it or leave it, to be honest. I got shit to do.
Yeah, me too, Stax, me too.
But you see the big result yesterday in the shock, the biggest shock of the World Cup ever, I am hearing, regarding Argentina and Saudi Arabia. You see that?
I did, yeah. It was quite incredible. I mean, I was doing my work, but I every now and then check the score.
What are we supposed to think about that, Stax? Ethically.
I'm going to steer goddamn clear of that one.
You might not be able to if you ever get a call up.
I got three jokes. I heard, apparently, Lionel not very popular with his teammates. You know why? Why do you think Lionel Messi not so popular with his Argentina teammates?
Finished. I
there's a kind of a pun on Messi.
Pessy.
He's like offside a lot. He's not on their side.
Oh, yes.
Is he not on their side?
Why isn't Lionel popular with his teammates? Because he always tends to leave the locker room a little messy. Jesus. A little messy.
That's why I didn't say messy.
Yeah, that's appalling.
moving on.
Please do.
See the Australia France game yesterday, Ham?
I did. My favourite game outside of the England. Thrashing of Iran, I would say, so far.
Was very entertaining. Mbappe, very talented individual. Could use him at the docks, probably.
What would he do?
Using his
what would, like, Stacks, if you put yourself out there, what would he do?
Waste management, because he doesn't waste chances.
Well, he did, because he...
Anyway, some bad news, though. You see this? There was an explosion yesterday at a French cheese factory. You hear about this?
No. Well, that's a good punchline already.
All that was left was debris, like the goddamn cheese.
That's good.
Oh, just one more. Yeah.
Final one. Just a generic World Cup one here. Sage and Hamlet, why is the World Cup final similar to cows in an airplane? Picture that, a cow in a goddamn airplane, huh?
Jesus Christ. I'll never get this, but let's try.
Final. It's got to be the final specifically.
Final. Jules Rimet? Something about that?
Cows in a plane. That's so specific what we're missing.
I'm just saying this so the mic picks up that there's still a podcast going on while we confer. Dairy, cows. Milk.
Cows.
Jules Rimet.
Wings. Don't know.
What's the answer? I mean, the punchline, Starks.
Why is the World Cup final similar to cows in an airplane? Picture that. I'll tell you why. Because the stakes have never been f***ing higher. Good. It's the way I tell it. God damn it. Enjoy the rest of the show, guys.
Bye, Starks. That last one was good.
Yeah, strong stuff at the end, wasn't it?
Is he gone?
Yeah, I think he's... I can hear the plane taking off on the helipad.
Can you... There's like cows in the back.
Right, can we... I hate to do this, but can we have a little talk?
Go on.
If he comes out with the joke as terrible as our first one, I think we just have to... he can't come back. He has to do a lot better...
Yeah.
I'll make sure he gets the message. Don't worry.
Well, he listens to this pod, doesn't he? You would assume.
He'll
hear this after the fact.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want him to think we're talking behind his back.
No.
Behind his stacks.
Cora Jade slags off Wendy Chu Much and better. The audience heading to the ring. But before we get there, Duke Hudson, one of my new favourite people on this show, is sitting backstage reading the Chase U playbook. And in comes one of the stars of NXT, Grayson Bloody Waller. So he says, he's just an annoying twat, basically. He comes in and goes, love your dedication to the bit. And Duke's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm a committed, dedicated student now of Chase U. Anyone who talks bad about Chase U, they're going to have to deal with me. And Waller's like, yeah, of course, good one, Duke. We all know your true colours. And he says, hey, those colours are black and red, the colours of Chase U. Grayson Waller just walks off cackling. The story arc on this show with Duke Hudson was magnificent.
I don't disagree with you, Will Boyd.
I do.
It's one of the best long-term storytellings I've seen in wrestling this year.
A good show-long hook that led to a match that had more heat than it had any right to because of the various hooks that they've dropped so far with this. I'm into it. Grayson Waller, as usual, the guy that calls out all the nonsense on NXT, calls out yet more. It's like Paxson. We watched the telly. We saw the Elite there. Like, Grayson Waller knows who Duke Hudson is. He knows what he's all about. So we don't have to be taken in the way that Andre Chase has been taken in. But then they have this tag match later on where just for a second, you're like, well, that's why he's getting taken in, because maybe Duke's trying here. Yeah. I'm absolutely fine with this. Like, I like the Chase U story. You've charmed me.
Yeah.
It's not my thing, is it?
Not strictly, no.
Not really my thing.
It is very much my thing, and I just we'll get to more of this a little bit later on. Before that, we had Cora Jade versus Wendy Chu.
This wasn't anybody's thing, was it?
Chu fires up early on. Damn. Jade cuts her off after Chu misses that sleeping elbow of hers. They spill to the outside. We go to break. We come back, and Chu is making a comeback. Jade eats a brainbuster and loses some hair extensions whilst doing so. And then Jade goes under the ring, or goes out the ring, grabs her kendo stick, comes back in, but Chu takes it off her. And whilst the referee's distracted with getting rid of the kendo stick, Cora Jade grabs Wendy Chu's drink, hoys it in her face, hits her with a DDT. 1, 2, 3. The referee counts the 1, 2, 3. What's going? Why is this ring so wet?
You could see the liquid flying up off the canvas after his hand had struck it. I understand, right, that wrestling is stupid. Inherently stupid. Makes me dumber for having watched it, okay? When they do the mist, it's like, I didn't see it, and we don't have VAR, so that's my fault.
It's helpful when wrestlers cover their face when they're being pinned, because then you can't see the mist in their eyes.
Yeah,
stack them over you can't see them, yeah.
And when there's like, you were on the offense before I was distracted, and now you're getting pinned. I didn't see it. And all that happened
was a really loud metal noise hitting flesh. How is this flipped over just that?
So it feels very curmudgeonly to point this out as a particularly stupid instance of the referee being dumb, but what an arsehole he looked.
Yeah.
1, 2, oh, my hand's wet. Why is that? While Cora Jade's got this like maniacal grin on her face. Put VAR on. Put VAR in wrestling right now that forces them to not do the same corny bollocks I've been watching my entire life.
And then football Twitter can call her Vara Jade or Corvara.
Yeah,
Jade.
Yeah.
Every bloody time there was VAR. I get what they're doing.
Pendy Chew is finished.
Like, you get what's happening here. They're trying to push Cora Jade and they're doing that very Shawn Michaels and Triple H thing of believing that it's vital that they've identified since taking the reins completely at NXT that they hate the Wendy Chu character, and you've got to undo it. Like, you've got to change it brick by brick. You don't. People were not so married to sleepy Wendy Chu that you can't have to go away for a few weeks and come back. I'm more serious now. They believe, right, you've got to take the pill. Like, they've done the thing where she's always like, people should take them more seriously. Now the drink's been thrown in her face. Like, literally, her gimmick has been thrown in her face. She has to abandon it to get more serious. Nobody's that arsed about the law.
I know.
Just have her disappear for 6 weeks and be like, the sleeping thing wasn't working. And like, I needed to not sleep on the job and get serious, and now I'm going to try and be a good wrestler. Done. But instead, it's like, maybe Wendy's drinking and pillow stuff isn't going to lead her to title glory. I just don't care enough.
Like, I got very excited for a split second because I thought she was going to instantly turn into a 1,000-year-old dragon lady. But then that didn't happen. So,
oh, the cheek on Triple H to be like, come on, we need to get him in a more sensible character. Yeah, you wrote that.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, it was just not very good, all this. And her crying post-match didn't help matters.
Really, really boring coverage of this show that you can find elsewhere on the internet and not on this podcast. We'll tell you that keeping Cora Jade's momentum cooking, was it? This was flat as out.
Right, next up was a vignette starring Apollo Crews.
You got a new one?
Well, there's a new one, but there's also, have you seen that? There's a one with the Santa face on it.
Have you not done this yet? Hey, is this a surprise?
I 100% I have no idea what this is. If it's like a festive fart or something.
Well, what?
It's time to play the game!
What game's that, Michael C.
Did it? What the f*** is this going to sound like?
It's farts with sleigh bells, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to have
sleigh bells in the background.
That's your answer. Yeah. I think it's going to be like, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, God, yeah. What am I going to pick then? Sand someone opening a present and it's a fart in a box.
Yep. That's a set of normal words. That's a sentence. Why as well?
I'm on a clip to put us on Twitter. Bit of artistic. Listen, if you missed the NXT podcast today, is an example of what we
talked
about.
It's a flatulence soundboard.
Yeah, yeah, it's an app that's worryingly becoming like, you know, when you like swipe down on an iPhone, it says like, here's your regularly used app. It's like WhatsApp, photos, fart app.
So just to paint the picture for the reader, it's one of those where it's like 1 to 20. It makes a sound of, you know, the thing.
Pick a number.
But yeah, pick a number.
No, it's the start of every Apollo Crews promo.
But one of them's got a Santa hat.
Yeah.
What? So I think it's going to be ho-ho-ho, but you know.
It's not even, like, they could have just put, like, a sprout on there, couldn't they? To tie it to farting. Yeah. But it's just, it's Santa's smiling face has replaced number 20.
Hear what Santa's fart sounds like, shall we? That is the best thing ever.
Again.
What's what? Oh, hang on. Ready?
That literally hurt my balls to laugh that much at that. Oh, my God.
Anyway, Apollo Crews might be the next world champion in NXT. He's writing in his journal and visualising himself on the championship.
Survivor Series 92, Sid, when Brett beat Shawn and Santa comes out at the end and it's in Vince's mind, he's thinking, this is going to give Brett the rub.
I've got
an Apollo Crews winning at Deadline. Santa comes out to raise his arm. The NXT champion. Everybody's farting. That's unbelievable.
Better than I ever could have anticipated.
You were right. It was a gift wrapped fart. Yeah. That is...
right. I did genuinely enjoy what came next because Kiana James getting interviewed by Mackenzie Mitchell, and James says, "Oh, I'm fighting Ivy Nile tonight. I'll beat her, and I'm still trying to do the by the bar from Fallon Henley." She leaves. And then Big Body Javi arrives. I love this gimmick instantly. He obviously last week was challenging everyone who was injured or suspended or whoever it may be. But now he's brought the Big Body files with him. That is 1,347 names he had printed on dot matrix paper, which I haven't seen in about 20 years.
Ball punches down the side.
Shout out as well, just in case we forget to mention it here, because Big Body Javi's great, obviously. But you need someone to bounce off of. And Mackenzie Mitchell was perfect in this role.
One of NXT's MVPs these last few weeks and months, I think.
So she looks at the list, which is like Jericho as it falls to the floor, blah, blah, blah. Axiom still number one. He's still injured. He's like, still? She's like, he literally had his leg bent in round, in, you know, ridiculous. Number 14 was Elon Musk. And she says, I mean, this is the only problem I had with it. She said, why would you want to fight Elon Musk? I mean, come on. But yes, Big Body Javi points out, I'm not paying $8 for a check, Mark. She says, how many followers have you got on Twitter? He says, 2,000. Million. at Javier Bernal WWE, if you want to be another one of the 2,000 million that follow him.
2,000 million.
Yeah.
2,000 million followers.
He deserves more than that, though, so go and follow him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number 68. 69 would have been funnier.
Why would it have been funnier, Will Bourne?
Oh. Sex stuff, innit?
What's the other part?
Egg.
Just looking for a button that goes fanny. I haven't got one, have we?
Well,
yeah,
that's
there's a button
problem.
For you to find.
Actually, these nuts. There you go. That's part of it as well.
We're still very much on one side of the part of it, aren't we?
Yeah.
Hey, you could be both parts.
Yeah.
So that's Drake, the rapper. He wants to fight, not Drake Maverick. And number 250 is a retired wrestler who Javi says, ah, come on, they always come back for one more match. Mackenzie's like, this is a load of bollocks, Javi. You don't want to fight anyone on this list. And he goes, you keep going on like that, I'll fight you. And just storms off. He's great. I love Javi.
There is a, I don't know who it is yet, and I'm hoping we're going to start getting some clues. Maybe there is a genuinely fun payoff coming here. Is this like to mark the return of a main roster person to NXT? A rival that would, like, or a return from injury. Somebody that would not think, obviously Axiom is there, but there's a lot of fun to be had here.
Bo Dallas.
Oh, my God. So that the Uncle Howdy Lawheads can get extremely excited.
Or they can get really annoyed because he's, because he's not part of its bollocks. Why isn't Bo Dallas in this?
It's the ghost of the bow that told the world, of course.
Of course.
That's great. He's nailing it as well.
The next stage of the Duke Hudson saga continues. The Chase U students, all six.
It's just
of them.
A massive Chris Jericho ripoff, but an amusing one.
Mm. Yes. All six of the Chase U students are backstage talking about bloody classes and pop quizzes, but Duke Hudson's got their back. And he gave him the heads up, thankfully, but he does accept presents. And they're like, ah, and he was like, no, I do actually accept presents. And then in comes pretty deadly, ha 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 ha, what's it like, eh? And they say, why, we actually need you. We've got a game of poker. So that's Duke Hudson law. We got a game of poker later.
Man, I wouldn't go for him. He never won a game ever.
And we need some soccer to lose some money. Do you want to come and play? And he's like, guys, you know gambling's against Chase Hughes' policy. So there's many reasons you can get gotten rid of from Chase Hughes, whether it's just the person who runs it just swears in your face and tells you to piss off, basically. But they all go, pretty daily go, you're a loser, you are now. I thought you were cool. And Duke attacks, and Thea Hale's like, what, Scrappy Doo, let me at him. And he gets into it with...
Scrappy Starks?
Yeah, with Kip and Elton. Another layer to this story.
Yeah, it's good stuff to set up a match for later on. I like all this. My brand of wrestling nonsense, all of this.
Yeah.
The idea that, like, they just keep forcing these poor twats into red T-shirts to be like your students now. Enjoy it. Like, this is the new, we used to get content out the ass for this, remember? You won't believe which Adam Rosebud is now WWE Universal Champion.
Yeah, no.
The Chase Hughes faces that one of these days going to be working WrestleMania.
Yeah. His world champion was once sacrificed at Thanksgiving. More on them later. Love this. I love the Duke Hudson story on this show.
It's okay.
Ivy Nile versus Kiana James. Kiana James has to be a bit sneaky to get an advantage because Ivy Nile's just mint and hard, basically. She hits her with a backbreaker, works over Nile, but Nile comes back with a submission, starts taking over, running Hurricane Rana sends James to the floor, and I think James tries to be like, I'm not having any more of this, goes to leave. In comes Fallon Henley.
That's my girl!
Lot of love for this on Twitter I saw yesterday.
Get her down!
Gets into it, James. And then Kiana James gets back in the ring and just walks straight into a modified dragon sleeper. And Ivy Nile gets the submission victory. Thoughts?
Wildly generic match.
Too generic, if anything. I want Ivy Nile to be better than she is.
I want them all to be better than they are, yeah, so I can watch it and not hate my life. They're not that bad, but my God, it's just the most generic. There's nothing thrilling. There's nothing emotional. There's nothing dangerous. There's not one positive emotion or attribute about wrestling in this match that I could cling on to at any moment.
I think...
What was it?
Well, there was none.
It was perfunctory at best.
But I think that's a problem with someone like...
The Performance Center.
Yeah. With an Ivy Nile, because the whole point of development is that you take what people are already really good at and then you help them like refine some of it. And Ivy Nile had very, very believable intensity and the right charisma for the Diamond Mine aesthetic, and they are making her boring. Like, it's not just as simple as a moveset thing. It's a, like, whatever's happening in these level-up matches is less fun than it was when you had a raw prospect. Like, I don't know how good she could have been, but already I'm seeing her being normalised. She's getting worse through learning some basic moves and WWE formula action. I don't want to see that.
She needs It feels weird to be saying this. She needs to be more Butch-esque.
Yeah.
Just let me out.
It's because you just got to feel authentic. I don't care if she's not slick, because she was once felt very dangerous, and that danger is disappearing.
Yeah, there's no sense of danger at all. Where were Brooks and Jensen? I've just introduced the characters as a bit, and they weren't even on the show.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
That's probably one of them. You remember when Vince changed the finish of that match? Was it Christian and Matt Hardy and Edge? Because, like, well, everyone on a goddamn minute already knows it, so we're not doing that.
Yeah.
I probably listened to the podcast yesterday and heard this, and I'm like, right then.
They better be back on, because
they'll be on the preview next week. That's without a doubt.
She's still trying to buy the bar. So
yeah.
If there's nothing previewed for them next week, I've got an idea what they might be up to and not on the show. So remind me of that.
Okay. Right. Definitely will forget that by next week. So Henley and James brawl off, and Diamond Mine come down to celebrate with Nile, and the Creed brothers get on the mic and address Indus Share for what's happened and their feud and they've been attacked, etc., etc. Says, look at all these people we've beaten. Intimidation doesn't affect us. We've worked too hard to fear anything with a heartbeat. We're going to get respect. And Julius challenges us to a match at NXT Deadline.
Oh my God. It's going to kick ass.
This show, Deadline, it's going on before Final Battle. he's going to care about the Ring of Honor world title in Chris Jericho match against Claudio and this tag team.
Yeah, I'm not being funny. I'm earnestly looking forward to this.
I cannot
more.
Wait. Like Iron Survivor, bollocks, penalty box challenges, and this. Show of the year, actually.
Like ROH is already bland and like not hot or interesting enough in and of itself.
Yeah.
And now you've got like the Heroes of Wrestling Part 2. It stands at knee chance. Knee chance.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Then we got a vignette from Isla Dawn talking about her attack of Alba Fire. And they tied up a nice loose end here. All the weird ethereal being stuff is linked to the blackouts that we saw. And that wasn't scripts, it turns out. Spirit voices guiding her, blah, blah, blah. We're going to have so much fun together.
Terrible character, the sort of stuff I hate in wrestling. But, like, impress isn't the word. Well done, Herr Ruffler, that they keep introducing these characters with a little bit of thought and slightly more depth than just a vignette of somebody surfing, a vignette of somebody businesswoman, whatever.
What they've done here? You know the Wyatt guy who did the White Rabbit campaign?
Yeah.
They were like, right, okay, do these very elaborate, teasy, Easter eggy, foreshadowing introductions. And he goes, right. And then he does them. And the characters come out. And they're just rubbish.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like all the swearing because we've got the 1 o'clock World Cup lunches. Mm. We don't want to give them too much work.
No.
Yeah.
And as well.
I am just about to swear because the Andre Chase bit's coming up, but still. All right, I appreciate that. Yeah.
You have identified one of the problems as well. When they've got a character as ludicrous as scripts as well, we all just was like, ah, it's scripts farting on with the lights. But yeah. Ideally, you can't be like introducing him at the same time because nobody stopped to think, like last week after she appeared, it was Isla Dawn behind the lights going off. We were just like, well, scripts is going to stop messing with the electrics.
Yeah.
So that's less than ideal, but that's not her fault.
So Andre Chase is giving some one-on-one time to his student, Mario, educating him about the lore of the Elimination Chamber, I believe, when Duke Hudson rushes in, he's out of breath, he's run across the campus, basically. And he said, I know you told me...
The quad.
He says, I know you told me to just leave it all in the ring and not get involved, but I couldn't do it, I punched someone. Andre Chase, like, this is a regular thing, goes, we can't have students punch each other all the time. Like, you got about 6 students left, Andre.
Sitcom that doesn't exist.
Again, what is this, a university or are they wrestlers? We can't have people... You can't have people doing a collar and elbow tie-up at this university.
Why did they have Charlie Dempsey along? Anyway.
We are watching a crossover between a sitcom and a wrestling show, having never seen the sitcom. What this is. It's so weird.
So he goes, I didn't put your student. And Andre, she's like, who was it? Who was it? He goes, it's pretty deadly. And literally Andre Chase goes, who? Like that. And he does the finger that, pretty deadly. Right, and he goes, And but it turns out there's people there, and I was like, oh no, there was security and staff there. He's like, oh bloody hell, what are the repercussions? He's like, we got a tag team title match. He's like, oh, brilliant, well done, Duke.
And it's like from the very start of the thing, it's like, we can't be hitting people. End of segment. Tag team title match. Like, that's an inspired take, that Sidgwick, because it is like, imagine if there was a, what's going on at Ross's Dinosaur Museum? I don't care. There's this six friends that are living the life of the yard. Way more interesting. But instead, 10 years of Ross fixing dinosaur bones.
Yeah.
So, Andre Chase can't believe his luck that his students got into a fight and managed to get him a tag team title match for tonight. And Mario's still there. Obviously, he's been waiting for the lesson to continue. Starts clapping. Congratulations, Mr. Chase. He goes, Mario, what the f*** are you still doing in my office? Get the f*** out of here. We got a tag team title match to prepare for. Duke, you did it. Oh, I still don't, still not tired. Oh,
anything?
Just man swears at students.
Deranged brilliance for me. I don't know how else to cover it beyond that.
The World Cup's going on, and when you're in a bit of form.
Speaking of which, what's the score in Morocco, Croatia?
That's a good point. It might be full time now. No, no, we haven't missed anything.
Jesus Christ, this World Cup absolutely sucks. So watch a Triple H go 25 minutes at WrestleMania. It's boring, now happens. The attendance is inflated, and you can't even hear the people who are there. That's what the World Cup is. Suck my cat.
So. When you're playing well in football, it's typically known as a purple patch.
On my cat.
Like Bukayo Saka is in a bit of a purple patch right now, but this is where NXT really hit its purple patch. So you've gone from Chase U, right? And then it's time for a reveal of scripts. He's in action against Guru Raj, and I just can't figure out who it is. It's a mystery.
I love scripts in action.
I love scripts in action. I
can't even get through to the phone line, but they've been matching a contract.
It's Reggie, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Reggie in what can only be described as a sort of jazzy, but also crap, executioner's mask from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, is what I thought of, doing the Zorro sign, but an S for scripts.
S for scripts.
And like, I like the commentary going, oh boy, this NXT audience just doesn't know how to receive him. I was like, yeah, they don't know what the bloody hell's going on. That's why. He's walking along, he's doing the S for scripts, walking along the barricade, and then he does the Sin Cara jumping off the barricade, and then suddenly, very springily, jumps in over the top.
Very springily.
Jumps over that into the ring. Nice to see Reggie keeping himself busy.
We'll do a tire then match, surely.
A just appalling look. Like a terrible, terrible look. Reggie, the 24/7 division was dreadful, right? Every now and then.
Die.
Just every now and then, like, Reggie was the sort of, you know, WWE is so stupid that a guy that does better flips than the wrestlers has a purpose. Why not? Why not? And then he starts, I'll clearly learn a bump, learn it to try and get some fundamentals down. So he flips less. You're like, sorry, Reggie, your fundamentals are fine, but I preferred your flips.
Yeah.
They've somehow managed to conspire to find the worst of both worlds because they've given him a terrible WWE-style character. He gets to do a few flips, but not the great stuff from the 24/7 era, and now looks 50 times worse than when he was a frigging sommelier or whatever it was. Like, at least he looked like dressed up and smart. What the hell is this? What an appalling, appalling gimmick.
I'm glad you asked this question because I was trying to accurately convey to the listeners who've been looking forward to us ripping this what it looks like to me, this gear. Literally, it looks like the Young Bucks famously started out their own backyard promotion, and they taught themselves how to wrestle, and they were so in love with the idea of being wrestlers and learning how to become wrestlers that they asked to be homeschooled so they can get their work done quicker than they would in school and not do recess. So they could just go out and wrestle and go out and wrestle and go out and wrestle. So they've said, look, like, obviously it's very amateurish. We just want the tassels and all the rest of it. So you can imagine backyard wrestling tassels over a mask.
Mm, yeah.
That not only looks as cheap as anything, but makes you unable to see.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get the quality across, not just the literal look, but the quality, right? And it's only going to resonate this with a certain generation of older fans in a certain place of the world, but...
It's NXT's key demo, so you're fine.
No, it's not. It's us.
Oh.
In the United Kingdom, there were two separate pro wrestling booms. One in 1991/1992, hence why they thought, let's get the hell out of the States where we're not drawing and do Wembley Stadium, because Sky TV is massive, getting big, and WWF television is huge on there, right? And then there was the Attitude Era, which was a global boom. Every market was hot, but in particular for 1992, business in the dump in the States. But because of the advent of Sky TV and the access, it was really big in 1992.
Triple H confirmed it was bad business.
Of course.
Let's disregard that, correcting that Triple H said. So what happens when, Wilbon, when just something gets hot and trendy?
People gravitate towards it.
And people decide, I can get a little bit of that pie and rip it off. So that's how you get landfill indie. That's how you get just rubbish action films when Arnie gets big. The UK wrestling promoter of the 1990s decided, right, what we'll do is we will hire the local leisure centre, which, what is the version of that in the States, just to make it more...
Is it like the armories or the VFW halls,
an actual leisure centre. What do they call that?
I don't know.
Well, basically, a leisure centre is somewhere you can go and there's a big hall where you can have...
They like their outdoor pools because the weather's nicer over there, rather than a refectory.
A refectory, maybe. A leisure centre.
Leisure centre, yeah. So gym, pool, like a big hall with various sort of things where there's space to put a ring in.
The wreck, yeah. Anyway, it's got a pool, maybe a gym. It's all public.
Yep.
Go in for a very small fee and go swimming or go to the gym.
Kids' birthday parties and discos at weekends.
Play indoor soccer. And because they had this big sort of five-a-side indoor pitch, basically, where you could either do soccer in there at the rec. You could either like the set of badminton things, then put it in the...
Kickball for Americans.
Kickball. No, that's a different thing. Yeah. Anyway, they would hire this big hall with the stands where usually the parents would watch their kids play five-a-side. But no, you're going to watch the stars of the WWF, except they're just some fat arsehole, out-of-shape guy playing The Undertaker, the UK Undertaker, and all the rest of it.
Legend of Doom.
So, Legends of Doom. So, like, the most obvious plagiarism you've ever seen in your life. And we used to call it...
The Big Red Machine, Shane.
There was a guy called U-Kane.
U-Kane.
Yeah.
And we used to call this, like, leisure centre wrestling, basically. Like, a lot of people mine and Hamlet's age know it, right? This was Reggie's gear.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, looked so small-time and pathetic, right?
Look at him there. I've just got it up on my screen. It looks amazing.
Where in the leisure centre, right, you would at least have, right, okay, well, it's an obvious rip-off. The wrestling isn't good. It is shamefully, like, small time. But at least they're ripping off The Undertaker, Kane, Big Boss Man, The Rock, Legion of Doom, whoever. Reggie's gimmick, Scripps' gimmick, looks like the leisure centre version of a shindy gimmick.
Yeah.
It is the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life in terms of gear. I cannot believe it's on a WWE production.
Do you know what I really like as well? Is not just the, what's your thing? You spell an S. That's your thing. I've just seen it here. Is the big pen in the background for Scripts, which I'm fairly certain didn't feature once in all of the vignettes. Why is it a pen when he's leaving voice notes?
Yeah. Because it's like someone could have been filmed, the receptionist in the performance center, like opening it up.
Yeah.
Then they realize, hang on, it's not very visual, is it? A phone call.
Yeah.
right as well, I'm a scribe.
Like a big quill and a scroll.
Yeah.
Anyway, in terms of the match, it was a bit.
Did Reggie stuff?
Flimsy flips.
It was, yeah.
That didn't connect really.
It reminded me a bit of the Revival. because it was some flips with Scripts. And he jumped all over the place.
Oh my God. Well, Dax Howard's going to find your address and hunt you down.
I'm sorry, Dax.
He's too busy soliciting five-star matches on Twitter, despite claiming to not care about star ratings.
That's what Dax Hall was doing.
Love it, man. Love it.
So he's flipping all over the place. There's a bit where he sort of...
There's a massive... I can feel it in my bones. There is an enormous... The next culture war between me and Sidgwick that you've got a referee is like Young Bucks FDR3. I can feel it.
Oh, all yeah.
Like Young Bucks have come back and like they're dropping the music on that being the elite this week. And I was like, I'm absolutely fine with that. I'm fucking raging, like smashing up the house. And like Sidgwick, like a mention of Dax Harwood is like, make mind up, Dax. It's like, it's great. I can feel it.
I can't wait for this culture war because I'm going to be a snarky dickhead and say, you know what? I just prefer the team that really elaborately lays out their matches that are always really long because they know that's the way to get critical acclaim. And they build it to this really contrived peak with the same sequence that happens every single time in all their big matches, but it's slightly different. And yeah, I like the Young Bucks as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fuck my God.
So tell your boys were homeschooled because you're socially inept, actually.
So, back to scripts.
Let's go! WrestleMania weekend.
He sort of limboed underneath a big boot halfway through this match. But then in the end, he just does... Is it the Molly go round? Yeah. It's finished, basically.
Over the top of the mic.
And then he left a calling card on Guru Raj's chest.
I can't wait. Like...
The rec center.
The rec center, yeah.
Recreation center.
I can't wait for them. Like, I think they're trying to, like, plant the seeds for, like, scripts and Axiom. Finally. Like, the mega powers of being losers explode. But, like, just for the entrances, for the... Like, Axiom can go. He's going to try and carry scripts or something, but just the visuals and the presentation of it, I cannot wait.
Dead Lane.
I cannot wait.
So it's better than Forbidden Door, man.
Wait till script is a word on Wordle, and then we really are in business, eh? But as I said...
That's six letters, mate, so you'll have a job.
So it's just... Script. No, script.
Just not S-C-R-I-P-T.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking with a Y for some reason, and
that's still six.
Script.
Script.
Sincerely, script.
Right, so Andre Chase.
Yeah, come on, Sid, just with a Y.
Andre Chase, scripts, and then... They're sat at this table, and you're like, wait a second, there's five chairs here. There's only four members. We all know that. So they talk about Thanksgiving, things to be thankful for. Ava Rain
for
says...
it's one cock.
Ava Rain says... Families have been torn apart by Thanksgiving.
So you were like, oh, that chair's not for The Rock then.
Yeah. Blood relatives can't be counted on. She's The Rock's daughter, do you know? But thankfully, Jim can be counted on.
Without Shawn Michaels booking this.
Yeah.
So yeah, The Rock's a twat. She's effectively estranged from her dad. She'd rather hang out with these losers than that arsehole The Rock. It's Shawn Michaels doing this.
Hey, Ava Rain, don't believe that story you read on the internet in the mid-2000s that I called your grandma a c***. Yeah, like just it's out there.
You can read it.
So in the midst of all this, Ava Rain goes outside and tempts someone from the audience into the ring. This fan seems keen to be involved with Yin. And whilst this going on, Mick Jagger and Robbie Fowler are banging on about Thanksgiving losing its intent and the table's bare so new traditions can be formed.
What is it, man?
We've gone from trees to tables, haven't we?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Well, that's it, yeah. They're in the woodwork game.
And Gacy says tonight we are creating a new holiday.
The Day of Jism Invictus.
Something along those lines. And, Ava hugs the guy, but her face changes when he's not looking.
Terrible acting.
Gacy says, it's too late to join the gym. We aren't inclusive, we're now divisive, and you will be the sacrifice.
Should point out, so the sacrifice, put them through the table, like, because this is so poorly acted, and they're just putting everything on the table here. Like, there's about eight fans, loud, boorish. Sacrifice, and then Joe Gacy 2 minutes later has to go, this is actually a sacrifice.
So good, Nick.
Sacrifice.
I'm so into how much they make this up as they go along. Like, the whole point is, like, for several weeks now, we've been welcoming and the newest member into the Yeezy meets the rock star. It's like, We are not about inclusivity. What? What's this all been for?
On their
Joe,
masks,
explain yourself,
got
Joe.
Shown up with a different light, didn't it?
I just don't get it. Because surely that would be the heel turn,
mm-hmm.
or it would be the thing where it's like, right, okay, people hate us, so we're just going to turn heel, even though we've been. What the?
Doesn't matter because Trick Williams is backstage wearing a Trick Willy hat, and he's just the best. And he says, look, Mello's not here because he's in the A dressing room getting ready to put on an A performance because he's the A champion, basically. And Trick starts putting him over and saying, oh, he's going to beat Wesley. And he's off in his own little space. Oh, he's so bloody good, Mello. And Wesley's walked into shot. And Trick Williams' cell turns around. Wesley there and he goes, oh! And he like throws up his dukes. And Wes says, oh, don't let me stop you. And he says, look, Mello's money, he's going to beat you. And Wes's like, oh, so you think he's gonna beat me? And Trickman's like, well, is water wet? Yeah, he's going to beat you. And he's like, oh, cool, so he doesn't need you out there, does he? He's like, well, you know, we're a package deal. I'm going to have to be out there with him for the title match. And he's like, oh, cool, so he'll need you to get the victory then. He's like, no, he doesn't need me. Like, I see what you're trying to do here. No, he does not need you. No, and Mackenzie's like, hey, kind of sounds like you say he needs your help to win the... And he's like, no, I don't need to be there. If I wasn't there, he'd still win the match. And Wes is like, cool, guess it's one-on-one then. High five Mackenzie and leaves. Brilliant.
As much as I love Trick Williams, he's actually wrong.
Oh.
Liquid water is not itself wet.
Oh.
But can make other solid materials wet. Wetness is the ability of a liquid to adhere to the surface of a solid. So when we say that something is wet, we mean that the liquid is sticking to the surface of a material.
Which is what occurred in the Wendy Chu Cora Jade match. The canvas was wet, but the drink was not. Is that the science behind it? Is that the water law?
So incels, when you're out there and you say you can't get them wet, you're actually right.
You NXT, the Trick Williams, it had nothing to do with sex. And we got there. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Trick Williams, just get him on the main roster.
About time Shawn Michaels was inspired by something good in his career rather than all the terrible stuff he did post-2002. This brought me right back to a really famous Raw, same night that Razor Ramon and the 123 Kid had the classic. Marty Jannetty comes out of the crowd after Shawn Michaels has been cutting this brilliant promo. He says, I'll take on anybody for my Intercontinental title, anybody at all. And then Marty's there in his street clothes and Shawn's terrified and he's like, you haven't got your stuff. And Marty's like, if I get my stuff though, you'll give me a title match, right? And there's Vince in all his glory with his heart eyes for Shawn already. And they're like, well, you said it, you got to do it. And it just plays out brilliantly and Marty wins the title. This, the same here, the chemistry between all three of them on the screen, like, was superb. Mackenzie Mitchell is showing that there is life after Renee Young in WWE for these broadcasts. So I want to give probably Triple H and Shawn Michaels a bit of credit here because he had to be one way under Vince McMahon, and already a lot of these backstage interviewers are showing their personality.
Yeah.
All this is great. Trick Williams is brilliant. This felt a little bit like Vince was still in charge because they were trying to show you, no, they do come as a package. Please come up together. Like a reminder that one, well, they have the other just isn't any good. Like, bring them both up together. Mm-hmm. Lovely, this. Wesley was better for this segment as well, which is the point of when other wrestlers can use their differing abilities to help others. Love this.
So I know this isn't 2.0, so it's not the glory days necessarily, but just like imagine going back in time to like dark pandemic times when I was there going, Sidge, what do you reckon to this? And you're like, yep, it's another 3-star match, worked well between two people who probably don't need to still be in developmental. Imagine me, you know, coming in time traveler and saying, so, in the future, what happens on NXT is you have a university segment.
We're back in a studio, by the way. I would need to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. We're back in a studio. And there's a segment on NXT where there's a university lecturer who also wrestles swearing at his students. And his student has beaten up someone and inexplicably got a tag team title match. He's like, oh, okay, you got my attention. And then I'm like, and then the script, it's Reggie, the sommelier from SmackDown. He's got a crap executioner's mask on and he writes an S like Zorro and it looks ridiculous. Okay, keep going. Right, and then there's Jim. He's got the Rock's door in it. It's a cult and they did a sacrifice. Okay. Trick Williams and Mello, they're just great. And Trick Williams is going to cut this great promo. Okay, I just need one more thing. The NXT champion's going to go fishing next. Because Bron Breakker went fishing next. He's out. He says, I love how bloody quiet it is out here. I love being NXT champion, but it's nice to get a bit of a break every now and again. pressure as the time goes on. That's why he comes out here to clear his mind. The fish aren't as active in winter, so I'm going to try different things to catch them. I
proper, like, tanks don't get, because fish don't give it.
The fish aren't as active in winter.
How, not getting as many reps.
How am I hearing those words on a professional wrestling show?
You know, in November, the fish can't go.
Anyway, he's going to fight Cruz at deadline. Good.
I don't hate that. Like, in all the ways of humanizing Bron Breakker, I don't think this is the worst. I think it's this idea that, like, he's this killing machine, but he has to go right out to the, you know, the middle of a lake to feel some sense of peace. But when he's in the ring, he's a, like, train killer and all that. But, like, they have to NXT it, don't they? Bron likes fishing. That's what he does to relax. But what he does to, like, work out is kick people's ass. Great. That, I understand that. You're supposed to see the total opposite of Bron away from the ring. That, like lines about if fish can work. Like, they over script everything. Like, the matches, the promos, the lot. They can't help themselves.
The fish aren't as active in the winter, so I have to amend my baiting techniques. Why am I hearing those words?
Do you think
the only thing that would have made this even better is if he sort of half, you know, because he caught a fish and let it, put it back. Yeah. Good thing to do. But it's if he went to catch a fish and he sort of half caught it and they're like, oh no, Bron, the fish is getting away, and he just spears the water.
Yeah. He's like, oh, there's one here right now, because he sees the bubbles from the fish, thinking it's coming to the surface. It's just a Apollo Creed swimming underneath and farting. He's actually been swum out to
dead fish.
And then the Christmas music plays.
I don't know how that sounds.
Like, picture the scene. You know,
Bron's in a boat. Bron's in a boat in the middle of a lake.
Bron Breakker's in a boat. He's got a Christmas hat on, but he's not being a
Mortimer nice Whitehouse, fish. Bron fishing.
And then, yeah, and then bubbles. Dead fish. Dead fish with a bauble around its neck.
That's so
UK
good.
Wrestling podcast.
That is so good, that.
It's just amazing. It's like South Parky.
Yeah. Welcome to the Chamber of Farts at Christmas.
Yeah.
It's called, if anyone wants to download it, I'm going to give him a bit of free publicity. It's called Fart World, the app.
I love the idea of you searching through Fart Town, Fart City. I'm thinking bigger. Fart World, number one wrestling podcast. We don't f*** with Fart Village.
Oh dear. Right, Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark fought Sol Ruka next. I really like the look of Sol Ruka. I think she's very, very talented, very green, obviously. And so we've got Zoe Jokic, I should probably call her. Because she's evil, isn't she? Ruka's flipping all over the place. Stark super kicks her. Sends her to the outside, catches Sol Ruka in the ring, skin, beats her up. Ruka hits a power slam, but misses a drop kick off the top, and then Stark hits with that running knee for the 1-2-3, continues the attack after the match, and in comes Nikita Lyons to make the save.
Bad. Never let it be said that I won't admit when I'm wrong on these podcasts. Last week, I said maybe a match would be a better way to debut this heel character than a promo. I was wrong. Just shouldn't have turned a heel in the first place. She's a babyface pro wrestler that shouldn't be doing this D'Eric stuff. Moves followed by a scowl. Doesn't feel real. She was an earnestly good wrestler that has had her wings clipped by this turn. Already it feels bad.
Yeah, terrible.
Our boys, Malik Blade and Idris Anofi are there with the Von Wagner. Saying, hey, why don't you come and party with us? I'd pay money to see that. That I put that on Deadline and I'll buy the paper.
With Ted DiBiase and Axana.
Yeah.
Come up on Wagner's party.
Like a montage of them partying. And like the idea is like he's playing against type and he's like letting loose. And like he's like, oh, you know, usually I'm this big intense guy who's just in the gym all the goddamn time. I've got a drink in my hand. It's like they're trying to do the thing. Whereas like he's got a beer in his hand and it's Von Wagner pointing to him. He's meant to be going, huh? Me with a beer? But his face just doesn't change. He's just got one expression.
He's got a lampshade on his head, but you wouldn't even know it from his face.
It's what a treat.
Like
he is.
My hat.
You guys are looking sharp. You have a lot of swag, and I got my dancing shoes on. That's what he said.
Let us go for a brewski.
And then he says, I'll never be seen.
He likes a beer.
Like they spill everywhere. Like this, the beers go everywhere because I've been shaking up. The drinks are on me.
Uh, He says, I'll never see be seen out with you losers. Beats both of them up and rips up Malik Blade's cardigan, which looked really nice. And Odyssey Jones makes the save.
Von Wagner party liaison. We absolutely need to script this film.
Yeah,
Von Wagner's great. Something changed with me when he got the belt thing wrong, and then the Braun match was a bit of a hit last week. Actually, I'm a Von Wagner guy.
And then we go from that to incredibly intense Charlie Dempsey talking about Billy Charlie Robinson Dempsey, and Carl Gotch.
Break your bully legs. I will watch Carl Gotch. I watch Billy Robinson. I watch Bobby Fish. I've seen them all.
Yeah. He says, oh, look at bloody Chase U and Hank Walker pissing about in NXT. They'll be screaming when I get him in this ring because pro wrestling's serious business. It just felt so weird and out of place in all this.
Oh, my God. He looks like Noddy Holder. Hard to take him seriously and says,
that's why he's business!
Why he's getting pushed now. He'll get a January and we'll not see him again till December.
He just needs to just get rid of the sideburns he's got going on, and I'd love to be able to take him seriously because he's obviously going to be mechanically sound. The pedigree is great. Shave those sideburns. When you're doing all your wrestling on the wall. Oh, God.
Imagine being Charlie Dempsey. This is not any fault of his, but imagine being Charlie Dempsey trying to get going in this broken system.
Oh, God, I know.
And your actual dad has sidled up to the blatant biggest young star in the entire industry.
Yeah.
How are you going, Dad? Oh, Dad tried to get your call, but I just must have missed it. Sorry, son. I'm sure you're doing your absolute best.
Right. Next up was the highly anticipated conclusion, at least this week, of the Duke Hudson saga. It was Chase U, Andre Chase and Duke with Thea Hale at ringside against the NXT Tag Team Champions, Pretty Deadly, Kit Wilson and Etlin Prince for the tag team titles. It starts off and Duke's like, no, you know, you're the teacher, you should start. And then Elton tries a sneak attack and Duke nails him because he's all Chase U here. But Andre Chase gets isolated in the match and he gets worked over and... He keeps not being in the right position to make the tag, does Duke? At one point, I think it was Elton Prince, got thrown to the outside and accidentally clashes with Thea Hale. She gets knocked down. Duke Hudson goes to the outside to check on her, and that's the moment that Chase gets a bit of separation, gets to his corner. Bloody hell, Duke, where are you? So, eventually, Hudson does get the hot tag. He actually gets a great reaction, and he runs wild. He slams one of Pretty Deadly onto the other one, and Andre Chase is just there. He's just a body. He's no idea where he is. He's like, I'll just pick you up, boss. Don't worry. Boom, slams him onto the other one. Runs wild. And he's like, no, no, no. Andre, you know, you're the leader of Chase U. You should get the victory. You should get the pinfall here. So Chase, I don't know where I am. Don't worry. You're back being the legal man. Tags him in. And he goes to hit his finish, but of course, Pretty Deadly move out of the way, and he nails Andre Chase with that big kick of his. Hudson gets taken to the outside, chucked into the ring steps, and Andre Chase gets hit with spilled milk from Pretty Deadly. 1, 2, 3. Duke Hudson is deviled. And Andre Chase just looks a little bit angry over his shoulder as they leave, licking their wounds. I thought this was great stuff.
So this was more of an angle than a match, but I can tell, looking at Sidra, because you were recapping it, that it is entirely rooted in your personal investment in this as to whether you thought this was any good. I loved it because I am personally invested, but Duke Hudson is completely banged to rights. Yeah, you're good to go. I'll tag you back in. Like, Andre Chase couldn't have been more knee-deep in the and it was like, yeah, I think it's time. I'll get you back in the ring. Like, a preposterous, like, turn of events. But I am very much enjoying watching it play out.
In the context of its own bollocks, yeah, I can imagine why people like this. But in order for this entire match to play out in the way that it did, Andre Chase had to sell in a leisure centre version of it, I might add, obviously, should go without saying. He had to sell like he was Kazuchika Okada in the 64th minute of the match against Kenny Omega at Dominion 2018. Like, lights are on, no one's home. Yeah. He's gone through the biggest war imaginable. Kiss my ass. Just no.
I loved it. I absolutely loved this. And even though I was devastated, as with Duke, that they didn't win the titles, I thought this is just It's just really good storytelling from the guys involved in this. Very into TikTok now, NXT, I've noticed. There's a few videos throughout this show. One here where Roxanne Perez and Indy Hartwell get into a row during like a live event or whatever it may be. So more of that heading forward, of course. They're probably going to be involved in the Iron Survivor Challenge because Shawn Michaels is going to announce the participants next week. And in amongst all this, Nikita Lyons offers to be the partner for Chance and Carter against Toxic Attraction in the six-woman match next week.
Did she refer to them as Toxic Attraction?
Ugh.
There was something like this. Yeah, oh, my God, the three of them together.
I know.
If they were in that room and someone locked the door, I'd never care if someone found the key. Like, I'm not being funny. Like, just the way they were talking to each other. They're meant to be the baby faces here.
The old wrestling thing where, like, the heel parks a forklift in the baby face locker and door. Nobody goes to move it.
Just the dialogue and the way it was delivered is horrendous.
Use your gimmick from earlier. On the one side of this six-woman tag match is a group of women who don't think the rules apply to them. And they'll be facing Toxic Attraction. Main event time, Wesley versus Carmelo Hayes. These two worked a pretty good match. Pass it on. They're quite good at wrestling.
Wesley, got him.
Wesley's got an entrance where he jumped over a boulder.
My cock is...
Do you like his new boulder entrance, Wesley?
Yeah, I think they're trying the Bron Breakker route, aren't they, of making the Wesley TV title defense feel more special than your average. I don't hate that. Like, he still needs a few of these bells and whistles.
Bells and boulders.
Bells and boulders.
But yeah, they're great together, of course, these two, as anticipated. The back and forth stuff early on, and there's a bit where they hit stereo kicks to knock them both down to take us to a break. When we come back, Wesley fights back, hits Carmelo Hayes with a Frankensteiner for a near fall. Hayes gets him in a small package that gets a two count. Hayes gets a code breaker, goes up top, goes to that big giant leg drop called Nothing But Net off the top rope, but he misses that. Wesley comes back, I think, with like a meteora for a nice false finish. Trick Williams runs down to ringside. He does need your help, you see. And Wesley sees this and flip dives to the outside on Trick Williams, and you have that panic of like, oh no, you've got yourself involved with this partner and now you're going to cost yourself the match. But as Lee gets back in, there's a nice bit of countering between the two men. Wesley hits a flipping Pele kick and hits Carmelo Hayes with a Michinoku driver. 1, 2, 3. We'll talk about what happened after the match in a second, Sige. But the match itself was absolutely great, wasn't it?
Everything I think you could have wanted if you've ever had investment in Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, and to a lesser extent, Wesley. We said yesterday, every Carmelo Hayes defeat now feels like the exit for him from NXT. This should be the one because it's not always, like the hit rate isn't perfect. This would be him going out on a high. This was so good that I would say that the Survivor Series surprise or post-Survivor Series Raw surprise would be the right time and place because the momentum is with him again, and that's not always the case. Wesley got a bit of a rub here as well by beating him, which is a huge compliment to Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams as entirely, exclusively NXT 2.0 era developmental prospects. Like a real, like a almost thrilling triumph of a main event this, where I think everybody benefited, and this has to be the na-na-na for the two of them. A great run ended on a high.
Yeah, absolutely. Echo those thoughts. I didn't think it was blow away great. I'll remember this for ages and ages and ages, but I was really impressed because I thought they might indulge how spectacular they are as athletes and just do the pack bumps and a hollow series of explosions, basically. But I really loved the struggle and the way they were eking out the advantage at the start. Like, it really drew me in, and then they earned my investment with a really great finish.
And then after the match, Wesley celebrating with his North American Championship when Dijak arrives, looking like something out of the 90s action film. He's got dyed, he's got jet black hair. He's got sunglasses, he's got a black jacket on, and he attacks Lee and picks him up and kind of botches Feast Your Eyes, if I'm honest.
An absolute clown. I love this so much. Right, Donovan Dickhead Law. Right, if you don't know your backstory, is that the second that NXT was revealed to be going head-to-head with AEW, boom, was always going to kick off. People from either side sniping at the other, trying to get their cocks on the table and get a bit of publicity, basically a bit of real competitive spirit, like the most needle-dicked energy on both sides. And one of which is really funny, though, hence Donovan Dickhead. So Kenny Omega decides, you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm the absolute best, and I'm going to be able to substantiate this rhetoric, right? I'm going to light a match, boom, put it on the discourse. Just start saying, like, well, you know, are you bothered about NXT? Like the competition? And he was like, yeah, you know, they would like their best guys would be the dark match to my main event, so not really. He's obviously playing the best bout machine that when it was eventually revealed that on television that, oh my God, he's actually got too hubristic for his own good. Maybe he can't actually do stateside TV wrestling and all the carnies who are around it. And that was the storyline. He was speaking a promo in character, of course. And it's a tall, lanky ROH guy. Donovan Dickhead. He said, hey, Kenny, remember that time I had one match that was better than yours at PWG? And like, it's like, what? Yeah, I had one match at yours, and when we worked the same show, and my match was better than yours, actually, Kenny. And that's why Kenny just ethered him off the face of the planet with Donovan Dickhead. As I've put it in the past, one person thinking they're a better wrestler than another wrestler who is the best bout machine, right? It's almost like Scotty Too Hotty saying he's better than The Rock because his match at Backlash 2000 got a better star rating than the main event. It happened once, mate. It doesn't necessarily mean you're playing the same game here, let alone the same level. And we know what happened to Kenny Omega, right? Best tag team match of all time. This absolutely incredibly hilarious run as the belt collector. And he's now back and he's the cult hero. He's like the face of AEW. Because even the CM Punk elite discourse, where everyone says, oh, CM Punk's an arsehole. And the other people say, oh, well, the Young Bucks are just pissy little arseholes. And I can honestly see it from both sides. Even the people who are like Team Punk and say, you know, like Kenny a bit, but those Young Bucks are complete dicks. Have you noticed this?
I'm part of it. Kenny's going to draw me back to New Japan for Wrestle Kingdom. I still want the Kenny. What we've lost is the dream match. Punk versus Kenny.
I think Kenny Omega, through working through those injuries, through doing the right thing and putting Hangman Page over, and just for being like really entertaining, particularly in 2021, I think a lot of people who are naturally like, ah, oh, Kenny Omega, loads of people now are saying, oh, I'm glad Kenny's back. It's just those Young Bucks.
it's what's made a worker out of Cornette.
Yeah.
Because you're doing a griff, mate. Like, if you think Kenny Omega's rubbish, you were in wrestling. You know how all this works. You're saying Kenny Omega's rubbish. You're lying.
So all of that's happened to Kenny Omega, right? And Dijak.
Meanwhile,
Dijak, like, if he had just humbly put his head down and set about just enduring the horrific creative to which he was subjected, a lot of people would just be saying, what a shame. He's got something, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's got something. He's worked matches that have blown my tits off. He's obviously got something. If he just humbly set himself about, you know, just enduring this creative, everyone would have been saying, what a fucking shame, right? What a total shame, this guy. It's a travesty what's happened to him in this book, and it's terrible. But because he had to open his big mouth and have ideas above a station, he's become Donovan Dickhead in the eyes of a lot of people. So for him, 3 years later, to go still being developmental, a kind of a demotion to developmental, when it's completely removed from the cool work rate league that NXT used to be, right? It's Deep South Wrestling with a lick of paint. Mm. That's what this is. Wearing Kenny Omega's 2016 attire, effectively, like, Dante wouldn't have written that. It's too it's too on the nose for ironic hell. It's like, nah, that would never happen in hell.
I mean, you making the Omega comparison was spot on, because all I could think about was a specific 90s film characters. And Donovan Dickhead, instead of taking the blue pill, took the fed pill.
That's the thing. The idea of the original Cleaner character is that he was told you have to be this like really stoic, menacing, cold-blooded guy.
Clean up the bodies that the Bullet Club have killed. Is that the idea? Yeah.
But that's like the aesthetic. He was like, nah. It just came out and took a piss with a broom. But you said like the aesthetic, like it was just a composite retro chic. So he looked like Stallone and Cobra and Wesker from Resident Evil. He just looked like this final boss.
He was built for that Puro Wave video, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he existed for that tribute
He got on top of the trend of like 80s retro synthwave outrun wave stuff. Is really in. Boom, that's my look. And then now that it... Dijak, he's a clown. He shouldn't have opened his mouth.
Well, he's here and he's targeting Wesley, basically.
He looked Is it just me, or did he look really bad?
Oh, yeah, he looks. I mean, like...
You've got to do the knee part of Feast Your Eyes.
Yeah.
Like, he's still really tall, good body. It's all there, potentially, but I thought this was kind of a disastrous reintroduction.
He just got in his own way.
Like, the vignettes were cheesy, and this was too. And the idea is when you're out there physically, if you're... He existed before all this NXT nonsense, so he should have been able to overcome that cheesiness. But not so on night one.
The idea on paper, the cleaner gimmick, is tremendously cheesy, but it's like...
Aye.
Awesome, because it gets pulled off correctly. This was just cheese.
Justice has arrived. The bars on the screen and stuff. I thought the Usos were locking it down like they used to when they used to put graphics on the screen on
SmackDown.
Are
those T-bars?
Right, let us know your thoughts on NXT on Twitter. At WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcast, me and the Dadley Boys will be back later on today to look ahead to a very important episode of AEW. Damn, mate. But for now, this will be an NXT review. My thanks to the Dadley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.